Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I expect everybody is getting focused and preoccupied with Christmas. But the elders of the church here are preoccupied with next year. We are looking forward, which is our responsibility, to see what lies ahead, what God is wanting to do with us as a people. And one of the phrases that you often hear from the platform is that we're called to be an apostolic people. But we need to understand what that really means. What does it mean to be an apostolic people? A few years ago, I spoke a number of times, especially at leaders' conferences, different places in Britain and overseas, about the difference between an apostolic church and what you might call a traditional pastoral church. That was very well received by the leaders because God has really been causing his church to focus on the apostolic call that he has, actually upon the whole church. The whole church everywhere is called to be apostolic in the true sense of the word, and I'll explain that later. But you also hear me personally referred to sometimes as an apostle. And what does that mean? And I felt that the Lord was really saying to me that we're not going to grasp fully what it means to be an apostolic people if we don't understand in what way I am an apostle and Pastor Clive is being raised up as an apostle. Now, this is not easy for me to talk about. I have never, ever, in the whole of my ministry, spoken about what it means for me to be an apostle. And I wouldn't be standing here doing this now if God had not told me to do this. The word apostle means to be sent. To be sent by God with a particular purpose. And Jesus, of course, is the chief apostle. Only once in Scripture is he directly called by that title, and that's in the Epistle to Hebrews, where he is referred to as our apostle and high priest. But many, many times, especially in John's Gospel, Jesus speaks of himself as the one who is sent by the Father to fulfill the specific purpose for which he was sent. He makes it very clear that he did not choose to come, he was sent. But look what happened to him as the apostle, as the one who was sent. He was rejected. He was persecuted. He was falsely accused. He had a tough time, especially at the hands of the legalistic Pharisees and teachers of the law, but also even in his own hometown, because of their unbelief, he was rejected. So far from it being a wonderful thing, for Jesus, the Lord, who is the supreme authority, it was a traumatic thing to be an apostle. Well, what about those he raised up as apostles? It says in Scripture that the apostle is the first, he is the most important person, really, that God raises up in the church. He has a higher and greater authority than anybody else. So how did Paul, for example, fare? Well, listen to this. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as men. We are fools for Christ. And then he says, sort of sarcastically, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. And then he says a little later, some of you have become arrogant as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a whip or in love and with a gentle spirit? Jesus, our great apostle, talked of his heart as being a gentle and humble heart. And that's surely one of the marks of the apostle. Paul was a very humble guy. Jesus used the whip when he needed to cleanse the temple. Paul and the other apostles used a spiritual whip, but only when it was necessary. Their purpose was to build up, to encourage, and to see the Church of Jesus Christ fulfill its destiny. But at what a cost to themselves. Paul and the others suffered the same kind of persecution and rejection that Jesus experienced. Now, there are certain marks in Scripture that have to be present for a person to be an apostle. There are many people today that call themselves apostles but are not. The same thing was happening in the New Testament times. For example, if people plant a church or two, they usually call themselves an apostle. But just because you plant a church, that doesn't make you an apostle. It makes you a church planter. And even if you oversee 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 churches, you're an overseer, not an apostle. An apostle is, first of all, in Scripture, someone who has to have seen the Lord. I came to know the Lord when I was a boy through seeing the Lord. I wouldn't have had a clue as to what an apostle was in those days or the significance of the way in which the Lord was revealing himself to me. But just as Paul came to know the Lord by seeing him in his glory on the way to Damascus, so that's how I came to know the Lord. I didn't know any born-again Christians. I didn't have anybody to teach me about repentance and faith and turning to God and giving him your life. It was just a sovereign thing that God did in my life. I wouldn't have realized then and in all the subsequent ways in which I have seen the Lord. I've always recognized what a great privilege that is, but I had no idea at first of the significance for my future ministry. Secondly, an apostle in Scripture is someone whose ministry is attended by signs and wonders. And not just, you know, in the ordinary run-of-the-mill way in which we expect believers to encounter the supernatural of God, but in distinctive ways. And I've been privileged to see so many wonderful miracles, many, many ways over the years. An apostle is someone who has a care for the whole church, not just for a local ministry, not just for his own church, but he is someone who is sent by God to what we would now say the churches. And he has to have a heart and care and concern for the whole body of Christ. Now, I could go on and on. It's very clear in Scripture that there are particular requirements. But I want to move on because I want to get to what it means for us to be an apostolic people. And yes, I've known the great joy and privilege of being an apostle, and I've known the cost. I've suffered so much persecution, rejection, such as you wouldn't believe over the years. But actually, that is not the most difficult thing about being an apostle. You just get used to that. It's sort of part of the territory. And actually, God sometimes sends you into situations where he knows that is what is going to happen to you. But he knows also that you will not back down from confronting people with the truth and with what they need to hear and understand. There has to be a determination in an apostle to be obedient to the Lord no matter what the cost. And most of those original apostles paid the ultimate cost and were martyred. I trust I don't have to face that one, but it wouldn't be the worst thing to happen if I did, because there's always the heavenly reward. But no, that is not the greatest cost. You see, God said something to me a few days ago, which I didn't want to hear. Now, if you'd asked me if I knew that this was the case, I suppose I would. But, you know, with all of us, there are certain things, certain truths that we never really want to face up to. God causes us to face up to them, but we don't necessarily sort of think in that particular way. And God was talking to me about a particular situation. He said, "Colin, the apostle has the greatest authority that it's possible for me to give to a man. There is no higher authority on earth than the authority of an apostle." I didn't want to hear that. I really didn't. I suppose I'd known it, but I didn't want to hear it. Because, you see, this is the real cost of being an apostle. It's a cost that is expressed in two ways. First, you have to stay so close to the Lord in order to fulfill your ministry. Why am I up every morning, or very nearly every morning at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, praying? Because my whole ministry depends upon being close to the Lord. You see, God only raises people up to be apostles if they have proved faithful in the little things. He doesn't suddenly make a person an apostle. I can look back now and see how the seeds were there in my childhood, but God had to do so much more before he really sent me out as an apostle. And I can remember when he sent me out from Luton to begin what became an... I didn't think of myself as an apostle, let me tell you. I didn't call myself an apostle. But actually, that was really the beginning of my apostolic ministry when I was sent out from Luton. God said to me, Colin, people will treat you like they treat me. And what you... I hadn't begun to experience what this was going to mean at the time. He said, what you're going to do now is to represent my authority wherever you go. And however people treat you will be the way they treat me. And you will experience such a close identification of yourself with me. That's a cross. Because you see, it makes you so ultra spiritually sensitive. You pick things up in the spirit. You feel things in the spirit. You sense things in the spirit in the way that others don't. You see things and you have spiritual perception that others don't have. Now, you would think that if that was the case, that people would take note of what the apostle says. But if you read the epistles, you'll see that Paul was continually having to appeal to the churches to respect his apostolic authority and anointing. Just like Jesus' apostolic authority and anointing was rejected in many ways by many people, so exactly the same thing happened to Paul, so I have experienced in my own life. But the burden, the difficulty in being in that position is knowing really that you're a sitting duck. That there's nothing you can do to defend yourself against the way people treat you. Just like there was nothing that Jesus could do or Paul could do or the other apostles could do. There was a sense in which you had to take whatever was thrown at you. You would be very, very surprised if I told you some of the things that have been thrown at me over the years. But as I said earlier, that's not the main cost. The main cost is knowing, or this, it's terribly difficult to put into words, but just having this spiritual sensitivity. Seeing things as God sees them, not as men see them, which is so often the difference between the two. I don't know a genuine apostle who is a proud person, except in the sense that, you know, all of us have pride. They are such a humble group of people. As some of you know, I was privileged just a few years ago to attend it wasn't really a conference, it was a consultation that took place in Singapore, where the 40 leading apostles in the world, or those who were considered to be the 40 leading apostles in the world, were called together for this consultation so we could get to know one another and just share together what God was doing and saying to us about his purposes in the world at the time. I considered it a great privilege to be invited, obviously, to such an august gathering. And actually, I was the only person from Western Europe was able to go. Of the 40 that were invited, 26 were able to go, which was amazing because it was called at fairly short notice. And of course, these guys are all very, very busy guys. And as I sat in the room with those men, and they began to speak about their ministries and what they were doing, it was awesome. Absolutely awesome to hear what God was doing through them. And, you know, I felt by comparison what God was doing here in Europe was almost as nothing. Yet, to my amazement, several of them were saying how my ministry had impacted their lives without me even knowing it. There's somewhere between 2 or 3 million copies of my books out there that are in print. And many of these men had read those books, been blessed, they've been sort of definitive things in their lives. Because they're books of substance, they're teaching books, they're not just sort of testimony books which are nice to read and put on a shelf. And it was an awesome privilege just to see something of the network of God. I don't mean a human network that men are creating their own streams of churches, but how God is sort of organizing what he's doing in the world. That there is only one Lord, there is only one church. There is only one plan and purpose that God has. And you just saw how these men in all their different individualistic ways were working out that purpose through their obedience to God. And Paul, when he's writing to the Romans, says that he had received grace and apostleship to call men from all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes by faith. And as I listened to those men, I thought, yeah, that's what every one of them is doing in their own particular way, in their own particular circumstances and situations where God has put them. They're calling people to the obedience that comes from faith. Now, you've never heard me talk about all this stuff before. Because why should I? I've never considered it a matter for public debate. I mean, I mentioned about going to that conference, but nobody but me knows the cost of what it is to be an apostle. But my attitude to that is, well, why should that affect you? But what God laid on my heart this week, you see, is to say, look, if they don't understand, if the people don't understand what it means for you to be an apostle, how are they going to understand what it is to be apostolic? That actually to be an apostolic church means we cannot live for ourselves. We have to live in the obedience that comes from faith. We have to fulfill a destiny that is far greater than ourselves or what we're doing in our own little local community, that somehow we apostolically are part of this big worldwide plan that God is working out. And therefore, we've got to have a world vision, not a local vision. So now I want to move on and show you what it means to be an apostolic people. And we're going to have up here on the screen two columns. You can put the first one up, please. And when they go up, you will see that there will be two columns. By faith, there will be two columns. Hallelujah, there's two columns. Now, you'll see that on the left, there is what I call the traditional or pastoral. People often think of a church in traditional ways, and as you know, the purpose of the church is there to look after them. It's to be pastoral. You won't find that in the New Testament. Of course, that is one aspect of the church, but the church is not called to be pastoral. It's called to be apostolic. And so on the right-hand column, you'll see what the church is called to be, and this church in particular is called to be. So you see in the traditional, the sheep, the people, pastoral is looking after sheep, isn't it? They want to be looked after. Well, we want to look after people in this church, but you see, our purpose is to motivate the sheep for action, because we've got a purpose to fulfill. We're not here just to be looked after and taught and encouraged and blessed. We're here that God will actually enable his purpose to be fulfilled through our lives. Then you see, in a normal church, I say a normal church, you know, an average church, and please understand, I'm not being negative. I'm not trying to say, look, the one is better than the other. I'm just drawing out the distinction of what happens in the two situations. There's no point in being critical. We want to fulfill our call. That's what I'm concerned about. So in a normal church, they teach the word, but in an apostolic church, people are trained for ministry. The reason why we have a training college is that we are training and equipping people for ministry because we're an apostolic church. That doesn't mean that every church that has a little training program is apostolic in that sense. But you see, we've just come to the end, I think, of what has been the most powerful term that we've ever had in the college. Now, there's a reason for that. God told me to get in and to lead the college for 2 years, to bring my apostolic anointing right into the heart of the college. The fruit of that has been that we have a people of faith in the college such as we've never had. We have a most lively, I mean, it's a challenge for the staff to keep up with the students, that they're just so eager to learn, so full of fire. I can talk to them, talk to you about them now because they're not here. They've just finished their term. Well, one or two of you. Well, just close your ears so you don't get proud. Because the last thing we want in the world is for the students to get proud. But you see, we are called to train people. And that's not only here, but wherever we go. Many of us on the ministry team, we go out to train people, not just to teach and bless people. Then, you know, the attitude in a traditional church is, I want my needs met. My needs need to be met. Well, we all want our needs to be met. But you see, what God works in us is a faith for his purposes. Not just a faith for our own needs to be met, but a faith that will enable us to fulfill his purposes wherever he sends us and whatever he asks of us to do. It's faith, if you like, of another order. In the traditional or pastoral church, the focus is on the church. You have church meetings and church services and church this and church that and church the other. Well, we have to have a certain amount of church things, but our focus is always on the kingdom, not the church. We're called to promote the kingdom. We're called to reach out with the gospel of the kingdom. We're told to reach out with the power of the kingdom. Amen? It's not church. We're not churchy church. Can you understand what I'm talking about? But we are called to promote the kingdom. That's what the apostles were doing. Even Paul, when he was under house arrest for the last 2 years of his life in Rome, Every day people were able to come and see him. But what was he doing? He was preaching to them about the kingdom. He wasn't talking to them about the church. He wasn't telling them how to organize the church. He wasn't telling them how to run the church. He was preaching the kingdom. The kingdom is the rule of God, the reign of God. Something much greater than the church. Can you understand that? Then as we move on, the normal attitude is for, you know, the church to be a sort of a static people, whereas we are a sent people. And you've got that sense that we are an apostolic church sent by God to fulfill his purpose. Now, actually, every church is to be apostolic, as I said at the beginning, but not every church is apostolic, because what we're talking about here is two different mindsets, two different concepts of the church, and the two do not go together. You cannot take a pastoral mindset and make it apostolic, and you cannot fit an apostolic mindset into a pastoral situation. It would burst it apart. That's why we had to begin this church so that it could grow as an apostolic body. You couldn't just take this into a normal traditional church. So the attitude in the traditional church is, well, let's keep everybody happy. But no, our purpose is to glorify God. If people get upset in the process, that's their fault, not ours. Because our focus is on glorifying God and bearing fruit, not on keeping people happy. Yes. We're not here. We don't exist. This church doesn't exist to keep you happy. If you're not happy here, God bless you. Go somewhere else. But you are called here to be fruitful and to be trained and equipped for the purposes of God so that you bear much fruit. Are you there? So the attitude in many churches is to placate the people. If there's upset, oh, no, we don't want upset. What can we do? Let's just calm everything down. Let's please people. Whereas in an apostolic church, people are challenged to repent. If there's any upset, well, what's causing the upset? Why are you upset? What has happened to make you upset? What is it that God is speaking to you about? In what way do you need to repent? So in a traditional church, there is a lot of compromise. I hope this is all coming up. Is it? Just keep it coming, you guys at the back. Let's have the next one. In a traditional church, there is a lot of compromise. In an apostolic church, the leadership is always prepared to be confrontational when that is necessary. This is why Paul says, you know, shall I come with a whip? What's happened to page two? Shall I come with a whip or shall I come with a spirit of gentleness? It looks as if we need a bit of whipping there at the back. The attitude, you'll see it in a minute by faith again. In the traditional church, there's a democratic kind of thinking that everybody ought to have their say in what is happening and the way the church is run and what the program of the church is. Whereas in an apostolic church, the leadership is called to govern. You know, we've had a number of real prophetic ministries like Harry Jackson. Those of you who... He hasn't been around for a few years because he was very ill, and I haven't felt it right to invite him since because, you know, the pressure on his life now. But what a... In fact, I only began to call myself an apostle because of a prophetic word he had at a national leaders conference where there were people from all over the nation. And he just called me forward and spoke this word over my life: you must not be afraid to call yourself an apostle and to stand up in the anointing and authority that God has given you. And there was a sort of a great affirmation of all these guys that were there from over the nation. But you see, one of the things that he and others that have been here to teach on this subject is to say that an apostolic church is a governing people, not lording it over people. God help us, we would never ever do that here in Kingdom Faith. But we're called to govern, to exercise the authority that God has given us. In a traditional church, people follow trends. You know, they'll get on the plane as soon as something is happening somewhere else. You've never heard us encourage you ever to do that. Why not? Because we are not following trends, we're obeying the Lord. And if the Lord wants to speak to us, he can speak to us here. And if he wants to do anything amongst us, he will do it here. And if he wants to release anointing, he will do it here. And if he does it here, it will last. We're not just importing something from somewhere else that is going to have a temporary blessing and then pass away. Then the emphasis in the normal churches, well, let's meet together. Let's, have services and have so on. But you see, our emphasis, and you hear it again and again when you come here on a Sunday, is to meet with the Lord. Because the more we meet to the Lord, the more we will be united together. Are you understanding this? Then in a traditional church, therefore, the leadership usually is looking to others for vision. They might read the latest book or go to the latest conference, but they're always looking for vision. I know this because as I started to travel and I went to just about every town of any size all over Britain, or at least all over England and in many other parts of Britain too, in the late 70s and through the 80s. And I can tell you that leaders were constantly looking for me for vision. And I was saying, don't look to me for vision. You've got to get your vision from the Lord. You've got to hear what God is saying to you in your particular situation. So there's a very parochial, a sort of a local mindset in most churches, whereas in an apostolic church, you have worldwide vision. And you know that you are called to impact the world. So we send missionaries out to different parts of the world, but it's more than that. We know that through broadcasts, through books, through conferences, through Faith Camp, we are impacting nations because that's what we're called to do. A normal church is led by managers. They're people who manage the congregation. But in an apostolic church can never be led by a manager. The leadership has always got to be a visionary. They've got to be visionaries. Amen? Anybody listening to me here? Okay. So you see, it's a totally different way of thinking. In most churches, people gather around tradition. They do things in the way they do them because that's the way they've always done them. But in an apostolic church, people gather around the anointing. What is at the heart of everything is the anointing of God. So in the traditional church, people are constantly looking back. But in an apostolic church, the whole emphasis is looking forward, which is why I said the elders here, they're looking forward to next year. They're seeing what God is wanting to say and to do next year. They're looking ahead. We've got no time just to look back. Yes, we learn from the past, but so that we can serve God in the future. So a traditional church will have a local impact, but in an apostolic church, there's going to be a much wider impact, a national and international impact. In a traditional church, a pastoral church, people are polite and friendly. But in an apostolic church, people are facing the cost of what it is to love. Of really loving one another, of reaching out into the community with love, of forming compassion ministries and getting involved in the local society. No matter what it costs us, we're here to serve the community. Of course, there are some traditional churches that are involved in that to a certain degree, but it's an integral part of what it means to be an apostolic church. In many traditional churches, evangelical churches, people are content to know the word. But in an apostolic church, people live the word. They don't just know the word. They're doers of the word and not hearers only. In the thinking in most traditional pastoral churches is to depend upon reason. and many of the decisions that are made are therefore dependent upon human reason, soulish understanding of circumstances. Whereas in an apostolic church, decisions are made through dependence on the Lord, through faith in the Lord. In other words, in an apostolic church, you make faith decisions, not reason decisions. In a normal church, there's dependence, therefore, on natural abilities, whereas in an apostolic church, there has to be dependence on the Holy Spirit. The whole church everywhere is called depend on the Holy Spirit, aren't they? And I'm not saying that other churches don't depend on the Holy Spirit, but what I'm saying is that an apostolic church cannot fulfill its purpose without dependence on the Holy Spirit. That everything has to come out of dependence upon the Holy Spirit, just as everything has to come out of faith and trust in God. In a normal church, you know, everybody wants a peaceful life, especially the leadership. But in an apostolic church, you embrace persecution and opposition if that's what it means to be faithful to the Lord. You're not going to back down from that just because the fire in the kitchen gets hot. So in a normal church, there's little vision for growth. You know, people are just happy if there's a few extra. Whereas the vision is for expansion. I mean, the elders here have got such vision for expansion because we know God wants that harvest explosion. And we've begun to see the fulfillment of some of the promises that God has given us this year. But let me tell you, those promises roll over to next year because God is going to go on and on and on, increasing abundance, increasing harvest, increasing His purposes amongst us. There's going to be continual growth of God's purposes, not just growth in the size of the church, but growth in what God is doing. The emphasis in most churches is come to church, but the emphasis here is go into the world. We're not asking people just to come here to this event and that event, but we're going out to where the people are to take the life and the love and the glory of God wherever He sends us. So people are content in most churches to know that Jesus is with them, whereas we're learning to live what it means to have Christ in you and to see Christ working through you and the power of Christ touching every area of your life. So there's a superficial unity in many churches, but God calls us to a heart unity. And where there isn't that heart unity, needs have to be addressed. The situation has to be addressed to bring about that heart unity. Because where there is that unity, God commands the blessing. There are a few miracles in most churches, whereas you expect the miraculous in an apostolic church. You're moving in the supernatural. You expect the supernatural. Amen? Most churches have collections for church expenses. That's the way they look at finances. Whereas we have tithes and offerings for the work of the kingdom. You see, it's just a different mentality. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Just a different mentality. There is respect for leadership in most churches, but in an apostolic church, there's honor for the leadership. What does that mean? People obey their leaders. Because otherwise, the apostolic purpose for the church can't happen. So the attitude in many churches is, well, I will do what I think is right. Whereas in an apostolic church, there is submission to the authority of God. Why? Because the whole apostolic is built around authority, isn't it? Submission to the authority of God in His Word, submission to the authority of the Holy Spirit, and submission to the leadership. Why? Because we are a people on the move with God. We're a people who have a mission to fulfill. And we can only do that if we move ahead in unity. Therefore, if there's any discord or disunity, that has to be addressed immediately. Because we can't have that within the heart of the church. You understanding what I'm saying? It's so, so important because we're a people that are moving ahead with God. So in many churches, they elect the leaders, where you see an apostle and elders, really, if you look at Scripture, are appointed by God, or the elders are appointed by the apostles, the sort of line of authority. down from God. People have services, but we're a people of praise. We don't confine our praise and our worship to what we do here. There's a lot of formal prayer in many churches, but God is calling us to be a people of prayer, which is why we're instituting the 24/7 prayer. Hallelujah. The attitude in many churches is, well, care for me, whereas apostolic churches have a care for other churches, which is why we have so many churches that look to us for leadership, look to us for wisdom and advice, and that is another responsibility and burden in many ways, but it's one that we have to accept as an apostolic people. And in many churches, you know, people belong to church organizations. God bless them. Whereas what we want is to be involved in the community. That's where our organization needs to be. Any organization needs to be outward looking. So it's just a question of doing what I was saying a few months ago, that the church is the only body really that exists for those who are not its members. You see, many traditional pastoral churches, that way of thinking is that the church exists for its members. But an apostolic church doesn't think that way. It thinks, no, we exist to touch the world, to reach the world. We exist for those who are outside the church to take the gospel, to take the life, to take the love, to take the power of God's kingdom. Now, sorry, that's taken just a little bit of time. But this is what we're about. And so every time you hear me or Clive referred to as an apostle, at least you'll have a little bit idea of what it's like. It's not, let me tell you, you have all this authority that God has given you. And it's a burden. It's not a, I've got authority higher than anybody else. It's just not like that. It really is not like that. It's the biggest cross, really, that you have to carry, as it was for Jesus, as it was for Paul, as it was for the other apostles. But every time we talk about being an apostolic people, I don't know how many of you have made notes, but you need to have a list of the right-hand column. So that every time we use this phrase, we're an apostolic church, we're an apostolic people, you clearly know what we're talking about. And what God needs to instill in every single one of us is, first of all, an apostolic mindset, that we think like that. We don't think in traditional church ways, but we think as an apostolic people. We have apostolic attitudes, apostolic faith, apostolic authority, apostolic power, apostolic love. Because it all comes from Christ Himself, who is the head of the church. And what we want to do, therefore, as the limbs of the body of the church, is to move ahead in unity with the head and with one another, so that we can see the fulfillment of God's purposes. And last of all, why this message this morning, just before Christmas? Because it's got nothing to do with Christmas. And I mean, as far as God is concerned, Christmas is just another day in the year. But it does come before a new year, and we begin to get focused. We will have a vision meeting in the early part of January, because God wants us all to be focused on His purpose for us as a people in this place. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, let's clap the Lord. Don't clap the message. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Now, we're just going to pray very, very briefly, because time's marching on, but just close your eyes. And I want you to focus on the Lord and first of all thank Him that if you belong to Kingdom Faith, you belong to an apostolic church, an apostolic people. Now, there's cost in that. See, a lot of churches don't think like this and act like this because they don't want the cost of it. But there's a cost to being an apostolic church. And I honor you, the members of this body, because you are prepared to face that cost. The cost of obedience to the Lord, the cost of love, the cost of faith, whatever the cost, in order to fulfill God's plans and purposes, not just for Kingdom Faith, but for your life, because He's called you to be part of Kingdom Faith. So thank Him right now that He has brought you into a fellowship where you're surrounded by people who want the will of God and who are dedicated and devoted to fulfilling the will of God. No matter what the cost. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Now, God took us through a whole process in our revival days just a few weeks ago. That was such an important strategic time. But what He did was to bring us all into a fresh submission to His authority. Can you see, the more you are submitted to His authority, the more of His authority will flow through your life. If you break that, if you stop being submitted to the one, to those whom the Lord put over you, then you break that flow of authority. And you might think you've got authority in all kinds of other ways, but you won't be able to run in that and move in that because you've broken God's line of spiritual authority. So why don't you just reaffirm again, Lord, I'm submitted to your authority in your word, in your spirit, in the leaders here, so that we can move forward together in unity to fulfill your plan and purpose. And we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, it's so good to be free to rise up and follow you. It's so good, Lord, to know that we don't have to be hindered and restricted by anything else. And we pray for that apostolic mindset. And Lord, if there's anything still in our thinking that is opposed to that apostolic mindset, we pray, Lord, that we will have a renewing of our minds so that we can know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And we thank you and we praise you and we bless you. Hallelujah. Come on, just begin to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.